There's a function called deep research on ChatGPT. So you could literally say, hey, ChatGPT, you obviously need to prompt it correctly. I'm interviewing with this company next week. Can you tell me what are some of the challenges this business is facing right now? And how, these are my skills, could I help them? Imagine going in with that mindset. Imagine going in with like that consultative mindset of like, this is how I solve this business's problem. This is what I'm going to bring to the table. This is how I am different to three other candidates they might be interviewing that day. Welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today, one of my favorite episodes of the month is when I get to sit down with my best friend and co-founder, Pamela Caldwell. Pam, great to have you back on the mic with me today.
I just absolutely love getting cozied into this sofa because I know that we always try and keep it to like a certain timed episode. Mm-hmm. But you know what you and I are like when we start talking, we're off. Oh. We're off. We can't stop. But I'm really looking forward to what we're going to discuss today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to be, this sort of episode today, I think it's going to be really tactical for people because look, it's still, let's just talk to the market for a second before we dive in, because today's going to be all on interview tips that actually are going to help you land a job, right? Now, there's a lot of really, really good people that we know quite recently have found themselves back on the job market after a number of years. And we're getting a lot of calls. Like I think last week we were quite surprised with the people that actually had been made redundant due to restructures and things. And look, let's just be honest, where the world is going, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to find themselves potentially on the job market again. Maybe not now, but maybe in a month or a year or 2 years or 3 years time when AI comes into play and jobs shift and evolve, right? So we sat down and we thought, okay, what advice are we giving to our candidates, to our network right now? And how can we really make sure that these tips and tools and strategies go out to the wider market? So if you find yourself on the job market right now, this episode is going to be for you. If you know somebody that's on the job market, or even if you're somebody that is thinking about exploring a new opportunity and you haven't interviewed in a long time, this is going to really, really help you. So yeah, these are our top interview tips. And we're also going to throw in something where you could actually use the power of AI. And this is super powerful. So make sure you stay right to the end because this tip is literally going to be your competitive advantage. Okay. So the first thing, and it's pretty obvious, but sometimes the obvious isn't always, is always done, but you cannot wing an interview, right?
Gone are those days.
No, you really can't, right? So you really, really need to make sure that you are properly prepared when you're showing up for these interviews. And it isn't optional anymore. You are competing now with other professionals, with potentially other technologies, and companies are thinking, should I hire this person? Why should I hire this person over this person? Why should I bring this person in over implementing this new AI tool, right? That's the way companies are going to start to think. So it's not optional anymore. You can't just rock up to an interview and think, oh, I'll just wing it and see what happens. You need to prepare. So let's just talk about some ways that if, for example, if me and you found ourselves looking for a job tomorrow, what would we do to prepare for an interview? So Pam, I'll throw you that question to start with.
Do you know, I love how you've actually just introduced this because that is really important context for the rest of the episode. Genuinely, the standards and expectations that our interviewers have now has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
It is really important to note that. And if I even sort of reflect on the first ever interview that I had post-university and I was getting my first ever recruitment role, I can honestly say I winged that. Yeah. I did not know how to spell recruitment, joke, right? But I genuinely didn't understand it was a sales job. I didn't really know anything about the industry. And I landed that purely down to personality alone, right? I honestly think that I made Stuart Clark laugh so much, he thought, right, this chick's got something. But that has gone, you know, when we're taking job briefs now, we do focus on, right, okay, talk to me about interview process. What are your standards and expectations? And the standards and expectations, they're very clearly defined. Often interviewers and multiple interviewers have got certain approaches they're looking for. Like they're looking for a certain way of thinking. They want to see you demonstrate something over and above what you've written in your resume. So that is, it's really important context that if you get an interview, wow, firstly, give yourself a pat on the back because you're one of probably 150 applicants that's been shortlisted to interview. So it's not to put yourself in a position of feeling overwhelmed, but you have to understand that you are being presented with an opportunity to shine, position yourself and sell yourself. And you have got to take the time to prepare and actually think about what scenario you're going to find yourself in. Mm-hmm. It's so important to take that context in to any interview that you're going into. I totally lost track of what the question was.
How can we prepare? But I think that what you've just said then is that the standards are now going through the roof. So, and you're right. When I think back to the first interview I had for to get into recruitment, it was very casual.
Very.
It was like, yeah, tell me about yourself. Okay, what's your goals? How much money do you want to make? You know, yeah. Like literally that was the interview. And it was like, you know, great, let's get you in. Nowadays, even in, we know some recruiters that find themselves on the market and they're interviewing with agencies, the standards have lifted. Like they are not looking for your average performers anymore. They're looking for people who can bring something to the organization, culture add, not just culture fit, right? They want people who are going to come in and be able to add something to the business.
Yeah.
And that is so important. So again, framing it, the standards are raising, therefore you cannot afford to go in and wing it. You need to be prepared. And I heard someone say something the other day, which really sort of stuck with me. It's like, so before you sort of go into an interview, try and gather as much as possible about what could be the challenges that this business faces right now, right? And you can sort of do some research. You can do deep research now on ChatGPT. There's a function called deep research on ChatGPT, right? So you could literally say, hey, ChatGPT, you obviously need to prompt it correctly. I'm interviewing with this company next week. Can you tell me what are some of the challenges this business is facing right now? And how, these are my skills, could I help them? Like, imagine going in with that mindset. Imagine going in with like that consultative mindset of like, this is how I solve this business's problem. This is what I'm going to bring to the table. This is how I am different to three other candidates they might be interviewing that day. Position yourself as the expert, position yourself as the authority, and you are going to shine and stand out in the interview process. This is really, really important. This is what all of the A players are doing right now. They are utilizing these tools that are out there, like AI, like, you know, all the deep research you can do. It's incredible. There really isn't any excuse now to not go in incredibly prepared for an interview. In my personal opinion.
I completely agree. And look, this is, you might actually think that this is just such basic advice, but before you go into an interview, make sure you read and reread your own resume. Do not forget what you've put in there. Mm-hmm. If you have name dropped a project that you executed on and you took it end to end, you have got to refresh on that. Mm. Whatever skills and experience that you have mentioned in your resume, you have got to expect that to be picked out and isolated and framed into a question to be hit back at you. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to answer that in a really articulate way. I'll throw out another example. A couple of weeks ago, we actually had a software engineer, principal engineer, that was interviewing. Mm-hmm. And the interviewer found something really interesting on this individual's resume from 2006. Yeah, right? Yeah. They went so back in time because when they were reading it, they're reading it as a 3-page document, but they thought, that's really relevant to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to this. And it completely threw the candidate off because in the interview, they had to go, oh, can you give me a minute? I can't really remember much about that. Mm-hmm. And that's black mark status, right? That doesn't come across well because the perception is that if you have written something in your resume, you have got to be ready to talk about it fluently, articulately, and with ease. Mm-hmm. So please, simple tip, make sure that you know exactly what you've written in your resume and be ready to pull out some really solid examples.
Yeah. Absolutely, completely agree with that. And the final thing when it comes to research is looking at the people who are going to be interviewing you. Look at their backgrounds, where do they come from? Try and find some common grounds. you might have more in common than you think, but you're not going to know that unless you go onto their LinkedIn profile, you do some research, and you just sort of have an idea of who you're meeting. And also, it's probably going to ease those nerves as well, because you'll see, hey, they're just a normal person. You know, let's not put them on a pedestal. They are just a person in an organization that you're keen to join. What have you got in common with them? What's their background like? And is there any similarities in your experience that perhaps you can talk to or build some rapport with? Like, oh, hey, I noticed that you used to work at so-and-so company. Did you know someone called Dave? Like instantly, like sort of having a bit of a chat, building that rapport breaks down, breaks the ice, and then you instantly can ease into the interview, right? So it's just these little tips that you can try, and it's definitely going to help you stand out in a very competitive marketplace. So rule number one, please do not wing it anymore. Be prepared. The standards are rising, and they're rising fast. And if you want to get hired in this competitive market, going in prepared for an interview is our absolutely number one top tip. The second thing that I would just add to, again, preparation, but it's so important, and I think that this is actually massively underrated and not discussed enough, is that how you show up matters, right? What state you're in, what energy you're bringing, whether it's onto a Teams call or in person, it really matters, and you can feel it, right? So I don't know about you, Pam, but I take this really, really seriously, because I know if I do anything in a lousy state or in a not good energy, I just don't show up as my best self. If I'm flat, I just don't feel like I portray the enthusiasm I want to get across. I certainly don't work to the same level of intensity that is other than like, so if I'm in a low energy, I'm just like plodding along, not really accelerating. Whereas if I could get myself into a really good state, I bring that level of excitement, willingness to learn, enthusiasm. I think this is something really, really missing in the interview process that people probably aren't aware of.
Yeah, like I think as well, it's like, it can be something as simple as giving yourself like 40 minutes prior to an interview, mm-hmm. whether that's on Microsoft Teams or whether it is in person, which again is becoming a lot more common mm-hmm. As everyone's navigating back to the office, which does give you the, you know, ability to really shine in your full light and presence. But don't just arrive 10, 15 minutes beforehand, like get to the office space or just like take that time to allow yourself to decompress. Ultimately, you're putting yourself into a situation where emotions are going to be heightened. You're either going to be incredibly nervous, anxious, sweaty palms. You need to give yourself time for those emotions to come up and then be able to give yourself a talk down and a pump up to get yourself in the right frame of mind for getting into the interview process. But that sort of time just before the interview, it's important as well to get yourself in the frame of mind that you're positioning yourself to go in and sell yourself as well. And I think sometimes people miss that link, that you are going in to sell yourself and your skills and your experience. You're not just going in to, you know, have a chat, mm-hmm. right? You are selling yourself mm-hmm. as the authority in your field. You are selling yourself in a way that you want these interviewers to see you as a person that has got the capabilities, the capacity, the energy to be able to succeed in this role. So taking that time to really prime yourself, whether that's just going into the bathrooms at the office or going into, you know, the toilet before you hop on your Microsoft Teams. And we've spoke about this before, but doing a little bit of mirror work, like chatting to yourself and going, you can do this, you've got this, like honestly giving yourself a right good pump up and genuinely thinking about, how do I want to show up on this interview? I want to be confident. I want to speak clearly. I want to, you know, connect with the interviewers. How am I going to do this? And just, I think just like taking that time, you need to give yourself at least 30 minutes before going on to an interview.
Absolutely. And I think it starts the morning of, like, if I think about anything, anytime I've got a really important meeting, mm-hmm. I the first thing I'll do in the morning is I'll wake up and I'll close my eyes and I'll actually visualize myself being in the meeting. How I want it to go, how I want to feel, what energy I'm bringing into the interview. And I see the outcome I want to achieve from that meeting. And I see it as done. What would it look like if everything went perfectly and I came away feeling like I had done my absolute best, what would that feel like? And connecting to how I want to actually feel and how I want this whole process to look and feel. It's so powerful. Power of visualization. I've spoken about that in depth in this podcast. I think that's really, really important. Like, you're elevating your energy just thinking about it. You're putting yourself in the room, or you're putting yourself in the meeting ahead of time. And it's almost like you're like telling your brain, like, this is going to happen. I've got this. And that instantly makes you feel more confident and more sure of yourself. The other thing that I think it's really important when it comes to energy is, like, it's one thing is obviously the internal of how you're feeling, and then it's how you're portraying yourself. And this is really also the other end of it, because you could feel really excited, enthusiastic, confident, but if you're not portraying that, which we have spoken about on this podcast before, that's going to let you down as well. So it's equally important to feel energized and feel in that confident state and feel enthusiastic, but it's also equally important to make sure that your body language is painting that picture as well. So making sure that you're not crossing your arms, you're not playing with your hair, you're not sort of flicking your nails or tapping your pen. Just be really aware of what you're doing. If you're meeting someone in person, nice firm handshake, all these little things, they matter. Don't fidget. Don't sort of, like, you know, how people have these little quirks and all those things that maybe we're not even aware of, which I think is why as well, it's like you said, mirror work's really important, or role playing with someone that you know, love and trust. Just say, hey, look, can we just pretend that I'm in an interview, and can you just pick out maybe a couple little things that I'm doing that I'm not maybe even aware of? But again, it all comes back to that preparation.
It does. And I think something else that can really help with prep as well is that remember that you are going to an interview and dress appropriately.
Yeah.
I think how you actually, you know, get yourself ready.
Yeah.
In terms of what you're wearing, like, you know, how you look, how you feel about yourself that day, it all links in. And if you think about, you know, you don't just go out for dinner in the same outfit that you would wear, you know, sitting down to dinner in the evening in your house. You're not just going to work, you're going to an interview. It's like an elevated sense of style. Like, you have to, I'm going to say, put on your Sunday best. But funny story, many, many years ago in Glasgow, my team leader at the time, Donna, she had a candidate going to interview, and he had called and asked, you know, what is the dress code for this interview? And she's like, listen, it's an interview, get your Sunday best on. And he literally turned up in a three-piece suit.
Oh my God.
But it was, like, so cute and, like, so memorable as well. And do you know, I can't remember if he actually got the job because we were crying with laughter. Mm-hmm. But genuinely think about how you're showing up. Like, you're going out, like, mm-hmm. This is an interview.
I know.
Right. So, and I don't know about you, but I honestly, if I do get ready and I put on a nice outfit, I automatically do feel better about myself, and I do feel a lot more confident. And, you know, that's just a personal thing. But, you know, I don't think that there's anyone that when you get a new outfit or you put mm-hmm. something on that you feel good in, mm-hmm. that it affects your energy massively.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Like, even that meeting I had a few weeks ago with that, we're bringing on a new client. I was like, right, I want to dress appropriately for this. I want to walk into this meeting feeling like, you know, I've got this. And that all comes down to, yes, the visualization, yes, the preparation, but also what I choose to wear that day, because that can honestly impact my confidence. And I've got this one suit that, you know, that I always wear if I'm doing something that, you know, I want to feel really good and really confident. And I instantly put it on and I feel like $1 million.
Yep.
Because it's my power suit. So I think dressing appropriately, again, basic stuff, but it's really important. I think because we have also worked from home for a long time, maybe, you know, we haven't invested in our wardrobe in a while, right? But go out and just, you doesn't have to spend a lot of money, but maybe just go and buy yourself something like a new jumper or a new top or a blazer or something that as soon as you put it on, you instantly feel professional. And again, it's like dress for the job that you want, not the job that you have, right? And good. All these little things, these sayings, they've stuck around for a reason. Right? Because it's important. And my nan has a saying, like, she's 86. She's like, Georgina, you look good, you feel good, you know? And I think that's some truth in that as well. So prepare. And the next thing is obviously show up with good energy. And that can also come down to how you're portraying yourself as well. So yes, do the internal work. Yes, do the mirror work. Yes, do the visualization. Yes, use the affirmations. Yes, do the journaling exercise. Do all these things, but then make sure you back it up with how you portray yourself externally and internally as well. So that's really important. The third thing of an interview, I'm actually thinking about this as well. So the importance to listen. Oh. We had a situation the other day. I mean, I'm not going to go into too many details, but basically, and I think the candidate, it was for a sales role, which we, you know, we don't normally work, but it was like a cybersecurity sort of salesy role, right? And there was a candidate that we had interview, and they had literally spoken nonstop for an hour. That the interviewee had, like, I think he had asked about two or three questions and he didn't get a word in edgeways. So equally, yes, it's important to sell yourself. Yes, go in prepared and get across everything you want to say, but please listen. This candidate hadn't listened to the question and had gone off on a tangent. And the feedback we got for that particular candidate, it wasn't the best, because and even the interviewer said, there's no doubt this person can do the job, but I can't put this person in front of clients because this is a consulting role. They need to be able to consult. And part of consulting, 80% of it is actually listening to the problem that the client's got. And this person literally just spoke at the interviewer for an hour and didn't let them get a word in edgeways. And by the time the interview came to a close, the interviewer was a bit gobsmacked at how this person hadn't come up for air. So it's equally important to listen in your interviews. And I think that was just something that really stood out to us the last couple of weeks, and a reminder, please pause. I mean,
oh, it was, you know, honestly, moment. it was really, really comical. And in actual fact, I had actually had an in-person with the candidate prior to the interview, and I did think, you know what, this guy has got the gift of the gab, as I would call it. But I did, you know, and I was almost kicking myself afterwards, because when I came off the station, I thought, bit of a talker, I could probably mm-hmm. have provided a little bit of context, mm-hmm. But there's no way, shape or form I thought that person was going to go on and just talk at the interviewer for an hour. But it's really important context to have. And I think, like, listening is also an art. At the end of the day, when you're going into an interview setting, they do want to know about you. But one thing is, always go prepared with a couple of really intelligent questions that you've thought about that are quite thought-provoking for the interviewer as well to answer. I think that, again, that just shows an element of care, an element of interest in the job, the opportunity, the organisation. So make sure that, yeah, it's not all about you, but do make sure that you go armed with a few intelligent questions that will allow the interviewer to talk to areas of interest, right? You think about the power of, people love to talk about things that they get excited about. So if you think about what the interviewer is doing at the moment, they're interviewing for this really important position to help elevate their team. If you listen to what they've said throughout the course of the interview and you ask a question back to them based on what you've identified as an area of interest, that will pique their interest, and then they'll be off on a tangent because they'll be so excited that you've asked a question that is so relevant to what they're doing. So again, it's just another really, it's a point to show a level of intelligence and a level of interest in what the client's doing. And I think that's one thing that I've noticed, it is like maybe like an area that's not really taken seriously by people that are going into an interview. Like the amount of people that I have interviewed throughout my career, and I will ask at the end, now I've asked a lot of questions, do you have any questions that you would like to ask me? No, good. And that is also okay. Mm-hmm. But the times where people go, well, actually, mm-hmm. I really liked what you mentioned when, and they'll go back to something that was discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. I, you know, naturally think this person has been mm-hmm. listening. They have been present. They have picked. Mm-hmm. It's just another way to leave a really strong impression.
Absolutely. I think, you know, don't let, what do they say? Don't let the facts get away in front of a good story. So it's like, don't just tell a good story, tell a relevant one. I think that's the key piece. Keep it relevant to the question. Don't just go off on tangents. Use the STAR method. Make it really tangible. Make it about sort of what you did, what you personally achieved when you're getting asked these questions. But pause, slow down, and don't just speak for an hour. That's, yeah, a really big mistake that we see people make. We've touched upon this, so I'm not going to dive too much deep into this, but your resume doesn't speak, you do, right? So your resume is obviously, you know, it's your highlight reel. It's making sure you've got all of your achievements there, making sure that you've got all of like some stats, some numbers, some figures of what you personally did, what you personally achieved, not what the company achieved. How did you contribute to that project, to that business? What did you do in the time that you worked for your previous employer? That's all really super important. And like you said at the start, make sure that you know your resume inside out. So if you're going to put down a project, if you're going to put down a point or a highlight of something that you've personally achieved, please ensure you can speak to it and speak to it in detail. Because if I got a resume through tomorrow, if a recruitment consultant said that, you know, they'd bill X amount for a client, I'm diving deep into that. What percentage of this was perm? What was contract? Who are your clients? What? How did you approach the market? Like, I'm diving deep into things that are really relevant. And you've got to be prepared to back it up with facts, back it up with examples. So anything that's in your resume, be prepared to be questioned on it. So like you said at the start, know your resume off by heart. Don't just pop things in there that sound good. Make sure you can speak to it. The fifth point, which we're going to go on to our little like new hack now, which is very exciting, is rehearse like it's a performance. And for those of us, and, you know, I would be included in this, you know, that haven't interviewed in a while, this is really, really important. So we had a situation the other day when a candidate had just found themselves on the market and they hadn't been on the market for over 10 years. And they were really, really nervous. And we were sort of talking to them and saying, look, you know, you've got all the right skills for this position. The hiring manager is not just giving up their time for the sake of their health to interview you. They want you to do well in this interview. And we got chatting and me and you were talking like, how can we really like help people now? How can they utilize AI? And what we suggested and what we've continued to suggest ever since to our candidates that are perhaps really nervous, struggling and want to get some rehearsal time in, go to ChatGPT, upload your resume and ask ChatGPT, based on my resume, can you give me 5 to 10 questions that if you were interviewing me, you would question me on and see what comes up. Then you can go to the voice part of ChatGPT, so on your phone, and you can start answering those questions. And then you can ask ChatGPT for feedback. Now, ChatGPT is not going to tell you that was terrible, you know, but you could prompt it to say, what parts of my answer could I go into more detail on? What parts were relevant? What parts weren't? And you can start to prompt it and have these conversations with ChatGPT, rehearsing ahead of time the interview. And every candidate that we've told them to do this has said to us, thank you so much. This has helped me so much and gave me such incredible confidence going into the interview. They felt so prepared. And the feedback that we're getting from the clients to say, these candidates are coming in super prepared. So that is just one example of, I think, the power of AI and how we can be using it in our interview process to help us feel more confident, feel more prepared and rehearse ahead of the interview.
It's just absolute gold. It's just like we have got this technology at our fingertips and that can really like elevate your interviewing styling and interviewing technique rather than just sitting silently thinking, right, okay, if this comes up, this is what I'll say. Like properly, you're almost having a conversation with someone without having the embarrassment of having to say to your best mate, hey, fancy coming around for a glass of wine and a interview role play on Friday night? You know, but that can also feel really clunky, unusual. Mm-hmm. You know, you might feel a bit silly if you start stuttering and stumble over your words. It doesn't matter. You're talking to an AI tool and you get to really refine your approach. And again, just acting things out and doing the role play is a really powerful thing to do. Anytime Georgie and I pull together, like we develop workshops or presentations annually that we roll out to some of our key sponsors for Sisterhood Club. And we practice them, but we practice them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're both trying to elevate the experience for the slides that we have individually got responsibility for talking to. And we practice and practice and practice. Mm-hmm. But we're doing that together. So it's like if you're doing it individually to be able to have a tool that talks back to you and provides feedback. I mean, what world are we living in? It's absolutely, it's wild. The pace of technology is just, it's moving so quickly, but it's just thinking outside the box to think, okay, how can this add value to the situation that I'm in at the moment? Mm-hmm. And if you can set yourself up with that kind of role play and get that mm-hmm. feedback, it will land you the job.
I completely agree. And it's just, it's a smart way of using it. And this is the thing, is that everyone's so panicked about AI taking their job. What they're not thinking, what they're not reframing is, how can AI help me get a job? How can AI accelerate my resume? How can AI accelerate my IQ? How can I use AI as my co-pilot to help me get jobs, get promoted, be more effective in the workplace? That's what we should be thinking now. Not, oh God, doomsday, this technology is going to remove me from the workplace. No, how can this technology help me in the workplace? How can it help me land my dream job? Like, use it. It is there. It is literally available to us all now. There's no excuse. But that tip has helped so many candidates the last few weeks since we've started suggesting that people use it in this way. And the feedback that we've had so far has been amazing. So if you're on the job market right now, or you know somebody who's on the job market right now, send them this podcast, tell them this tip, and let's make sure that everybody is rehearsing and being as prepared as what they can be for the interview, because that way you're going to have more chance of landing the job that you want. So just to close off, just a few sort of bonus tips. You've already said some amazing ones, Pam. So like, obviously making sure you ask smart questions, right? Understanding what the company's biggest challenges are. What does success look like in this role? I always think that's a really good question to ask. It's always a question I ask the client as well. Like, let's say you hire somebody, what does success look like in the first 30 days, 90 days, 6 months, right? I think it's really, really good to understand the expectations of what the client is actually looking for. So that is a question that I think is a really good one to ask. And just like I said, the more you know about the company, the more prepared you can be with your questions. And that's where you could use ChatGPT again as well. So you could say, you know, like I said at the start, what are the problems? What are the challenges this business is facing? What would be some smart questions to ask in an interview, right? And keep on prompting it until you get, you know, 3 or 4 really intelligent questions. Another thing that people obviously say to do is like match body language, match language and things. Like, I think like this is important. Like, if I was doing a meeting with somebody that was really softly spoken, I'm not going to come in and be like my big, bold, brash self sometimes. I'm going to listen more, maybe speak a bit softly. So I think mirroring someone else is also quite an important tactic, but don't overthink it as well, because I think sometimes you can then overthink it and then it all becomes a bit too awkward.
I totally know what you mean. And also, it's like you want to be able to be authentically you as well.
Exactly.
And I have had to refine my approach when I am in meetings or pitching to clients on occasion, because maybe not as I'm getting older, actually, but when I was younger, I had a really big, bouncy, excitable, cheery personality. And you think I was sitting in front of CTOs that at that time were maybe about 20, 30 years older than me. Mm. And that could be overbearing, you know. Mm. So over time, I did learn to maybe dull down certain approaches. But at the end of the day, the whole reason that I first ever got my job was because I was wholly, authentically myself. And remember that you are uniquely you. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to make sure that you're joining an organization that is also going to embrace exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. But there is absolutely power in mirror matching. But I do agree, do not overthink it, because it can make you feel incredibly uncomfortable if all of a sudden you start to think too much about, oh my God, where are my hands? You know, mm-hmm. and I've got these big, mm-hmm. massive, ginormous, long arms as well. So sometimes I really don't know what to do with them, you know. But it's don't overthink it. But I think it is important to think about mirror matching, but you can do mirror matching in other ways, like using similar language.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than overthinking about, mm-hmm. you know, what way you're sitting and your body language, because mm-hmm. that can make you feel a bit uncomfortable. But just mm-hmm. be authentically you, but think about different ways that you can maybe find a point of connection mm-hmm. with the interviewers.
Exactly. And the final thing is that I recommend everyone does, and I do this all the time. If I've had a meeting or if I've met somebody or if I've just bumped into somebody, I will always send a follow-up. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. It was lovely to meet you. That's just a beautiful way of rounding off the interview process. And you know, I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And if you're not working with a recruiter, you could then follow up, you know, every few days, just say, you know, looking forward to hearing from you. Like, where's the application process? Like, there is power in follow up as well. And if you're the final thing I would say is if you're going to multiple interviews and you're not getting the job, it is then your responsibility to get feedback. Whether if you're going for a recruiter, ask the recruiter, hey, look, what was the feedback? How can I improve? I really, really want to land a job. What is like three things that I could work on? Okay. Like, I think it's really, really important to understand where you're falling short, because if you don't know, you can't change it. You can't improve upon it. So if you're hearing no a lot, there might be something that you need to change in terms of like how you're presenting yourself, how you're speaking. You might need to really prep and practice even more, but you're not going to know what to change if you're not aware of it first and foremost. So I think feedback is really, really important. If you've been on the job market for a long time now and you've had a number of interviews and you're still not getting the job, that's something you really need to address. Okay. So it's like all these tactics are really helpful and beneficial and would definitely land you in, you know, a really strong position. But if you're still falling short, you need to understand why that is.
Yeah. Look, I would agree. And just like to go one step forward, if you think about follow-ups, mm-hmm. there's actual power in showing up on a follow-up as well. Like, even if you are engaging via a recruiter, you think about that recruiter is your point of contact to the client, to the end company that you're trying to join. That hiring manager will be asking me, right, these two candidates are neck and neck. This is what I like about this one. This is what I like about this one. What are your thoughts on who has been the most engaged throughout this process? Who do you think? They will then start to ask your recruiter's opinion, mm-hmm. right? You want to make sure that you are showing the right level of enthusiasm, interest, and again, just applying a bit of intelligence mm-hmm. to your interviewing approach. There's so much power in a follow-up when you're going through an interviewing or a shortlisting situation for an organization. So definitely make sure that you're being selective with the clients that you're interviewing with. Don't just spray and pray, because you want to be able to present yourself in the best light and go through a specific process yourself from start to finish. And the follow-up is a very important piece of the puzzle, whether that's been direct or in between. But also, to your point of asking for feedback, this is when it's important that if you are using a recruiter or you're speaking with an internal talent acquisition professional, if I was on the job market now and I was dealing with a recruiter, I would want to make sure that that recruiter knew how to present me in the best light. Mm-hmm. So place a high value on the recruiter that you choose to work with, and make sure you're dealing with someone that's mature enough to be able to have tough conversations. Because that is one thing that I had to grow into as a recruiter. I used to find it very uncomfortable mm-hmm. to provide people with real, accurate, insightful feedback because it is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You're almost shining a spotlight on someone's weaknesses. And that's something that I've had to learn to do over time. Mm-hmm. But cut to last week when I had to provide my candidate with feedback that he did not listen at all. I was direct but constructive, because I think it is so important to provide that honest feedback to allow people the opportunity to take it on board, and then I can provide, you know, some insights into how I think that they can improve that. I will always add value where I possibly can. Then it's over to you, the candidate, but make sure that you're choosing to pick to work with a recruiter that you know is going to be honest and transparent with you, because that's the only way that you're going to improve as you navigate through an interview process, which again is not something that we all do every day of the week. It's not our day-to-day jobs, but interviewing is a skill, and it's a skill that you have to work on. So
mm-hmm. And on that note, that is today's episode. So I really hope that you've had a lot of value from this. Reach out to Pam and I. We love it when you reach out. Tell us what you're going to implement into your interview process. Tell us your biggest takeaway. Let us know if you're using the AI that we just suggested then to help you prepare. I really want to hear how that goes, but keep us updated. And just remember, like, if you are on the job market right now, it's really important to stay optimistic. Do not lose hope. Keep going. Keep, you know, getting that feedback, being prepared, setting yourself up for success, and also use it as an opportunity to learn a new skill. Take an AI course, take a machine learning course, go and improve your communication, right? Don't just sit there and feel sorry for yourself if you are on the job market. Use it as a time to also upskill. Your future self will thank you for it. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode, and Pam and I will be back with another episode for you very soon. Have an amazing week. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me, and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant, and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thank you so much for doing that. And I can't wait to share the next episode with you. Thank you.